Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
Dante Moore snapping back the throw. Steps up, throws toward the end zone. Sadiq's got it for the touchdown.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
We don't need any extra motivation to come in and want to whoop your ass.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM. And the Odyssey app.
Hey, happy hump day, all you beautiful radio listeners. I hope you are having a wonderful start to your afternoon, but let's check in with the most important man, Jeff Rust. What's going on, man?
Just getting mistakenly invited to like some sales Zoom calls in New York on the old corporate email.
Sweet.
So I replied back, I'm like, I think you sent this to me by mistake.
You sure?
I mean, fairly.
Here's your big endorsement opportunity, and you're missing out on it, bud.
Well, it is for Progressive, so maybe I could be the Oregon flow.
There you go. You do have flow. If any word I would use to describe you, you're a guy with flow. I don't know if you have the same energy as flow for Progressive.
No.
but you've got a grace about you that I would describe as flow.
I think I probably have the same energy as the other line of ads that they run with the folks turning into their parents.
Yeah, you know, that's the one I was kind of thinking of immediately too. Yeah. That's got to be a pretty good gig, just being like insurance like guy.
Yeah.
Like Jake from State Farm, Mayhem dude.
But you got to be pissed if you're the first Jake from State Farm. He got canned.
My wife is still upset about that. She still prefers the original Jake.
Yeah.
Just because he was a little bit awkward. And then she's like, you get a guy that's overconfident and just up there and just being smarmy.
Handsome and stuff.
Yeah, nobody needs any of that. Yeah, just original Jake in the khakis is all we need.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, it's got to be a pretty good gig. I mean, how much money do you think Flo makes?
Ooh, well, because she's one of the better known, like...
Well, sure, but Mayhem, like, that guy was in quite a bit of stuff. He was in 30 Rock and Rescue Me and a few other series.
Law and Order, SVU.
Yeah, there you go.
But as a romantic interest for Mariska.
He's got to be making more money doing the what is it, Allstate?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, and old mustache guy chasing down his bird on the field. I mean, that guy's making some money. Because he doesn't have to split money with that bird.
Old Doug.
Yeah, Doug. Emu, just so dumb. But yeah, I think if I can get one of those gigs, so you should probably jump on that corporate call right away. Right. You get one of those gigs, you become the next, like, it'll be, you know, something where it's like, yeah, you know, are you a radio guy and need to do a thing? And then here's Jeff Rust, and it's just like you're the antithesis of like what everybody pictures as like pro athlete sports radio guy, and you get a whole gig based on that, and it's just you and celebrity quarterbacks going back and forth.
Yeah, right. We are the same.
Yeah,
get on. We are the same.
Yeah, we're all the same. Yeah, we all
birds of a feather.
Progressive works for all of us.
Yes, birds of a feather.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man, I can't believe you canceled that call. What a waste. If you want to play the Pick'em with us tomorrow, take your pick 2:30 every Thursday. Our social guy Jake, not from State Farm.
Not from State Farm.
Jake, put him on all the fan socials.
There we go.
I think he didn't trust my ability to interact on social media.
Yeah.
Because you want me to put that on social for you? Sure. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's kind of his job.
Yeah. You know, well, hey. Listen,
that's why he's here.
He jumped all over it. He goes, I'll even fill mine out this week because I was giving him a hard time. He didn't fill his out. So.
Jeez.
Anyway, you see he was last place overall still?
No.
Brandon Sprague.
Yeah.
He failed to fill it out last week, so his 50% from week one will sit there at the bottom of the list until somebody gets worse.
Wow. Nice one.
So if he's listening right now, this is your call out. All right. You want some sports news?
Yeah.
Next season will mark the first time Oregon and Oregon State will not face each other in football in more than 80 years. I'm reading from Bill Orem's Oregon Live article here. But a multi-year agreement to restore the rivalry in 2027, as reported by the Oregon Live last week, would keep the series alive through 2032, according to a spokesperson for Oregon Athletics. So we are good to go. 6 years starting next season.
Yeah.
Or starting 2027.
Yes. So next year will be a hiatus.
Next year is a hiatus.
Yes.
Well, they can find a new coach for Oregon State or whatever everybody's yelling about. Oregon State's not good at football. Trent Bray's not a good coach. Sorry.
Let's face it. By the time 2027 comes around, the Beavers could be on yet another different coach.
Yeah, totally.
Like the one after Trent Bray goes.
Yeah, fair point. So, and if anybody going to the game this weekend that's upset that the game's not being played in November, I feel like when you have lopsided games or expected to be lopsided games, mm-hmm. at least you get nice weather.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I know that we normally wait a little bit later in the show before we dive into Seattle Mariners talk,
mm-hmm.
but listen, this thing may not last forever. There is a real possibility that this win streak at some point will come to an end for the Mariners. Hopefully, it's next spring, and they get to spring training, and they're just kind of sloughing off, and they're playing some other guys, and that's when it comes to an end. But I don't know if you caught any of last night's game.
I did not.
This is getting very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
So
I missed the dumper dropping a couple more bombs.
I believe that is called a dumper deuce.
Yeah.
So you're not caught up on that nomenclature.
Apologies.
This is the 10th game of the season that the dumper has deuced.
Ooh.
Big Dumper has two home runs for the 10th time. He hit one from each side of the plate. If you are not keeping up with what's going on with the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, hey!
Cal Raleigh went into yesterday's game tied with the great Mickey Mantle for the most switch hit home runs in a season at 54. He added number 55 in the third, added number 56 in the fourth. He is now tied with Ken Griffey Jr. atop the Mariners' all-time record books for the most home runs in a single season. But he didn't even have the best game yesterday.
Yeah.
Not even by a long shot.
Right?
Dom Canzone.
Dominici there, yeah. For you radio listeners, when we say the Canzone, you got to do the Italian hand thing, you know?
Yeah. Dom Canzone, 5 for 5 with 3 home runs.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
I'm not even sure Cal had the second best game. Something named Carter Jensen, I believe is his name.
Sure,
for Kansas City, hit 2 home runs of his own. His first 2 home runs ever.
Oh, wow.
He is a call-up, a late-season call-up for the Kansas City Royals. He is a local kid, went to high school in Kansas City, and got his first 2 major league home runs. So the dumper is, cool. like, in the rear view of everybody and everything that was going on in a 12-5 victory for the Mariners. Makes it 10 in a row.
Yeah.
I did a little research.
Break them up.
I did. Do not break them up. You shut your mouth. A lot of freak out happening around the Seattle Mariners. I did a little bit of research because if you look at what is going on right now, everybody at the beginning of September was kind of in panic mode. They could not win on the road. They were playing absolutely terrible. So I looked it up just because baseball is one of those things where on this show, we've basically been talking about it every day. The Mariners are in the hunt, so it matters to me, so it matters to you because I care.
Yeah.
Like if you're listening to this, hopefully you care about what I care. Or you absolutely hate what I care about, and then you can throw things at the radio. Well, but either way.
And also we need the Big Dumper updates because Big Dumper.
Listen, it's a whole thing. It's absolutely fantastic. So I checked the winning percentage by month for the Seattle Mariners, just to give everybody kind of an idea what's going on right now. So Mariners started off, if you take March as a standalone, they were 40%. They were 2 out of 5 games, so whatever. April, they were scorching, red hot, 64% win percentage in April. In May, 48%. In June, 48%. for a win percentage. In July, this is when they went out and started making their moves at the trade deadline, was the end of July. They were improving in July, 53%, 53.85% winning percentage.
Okay.
So that's when they became buyers, right? They had a great April. They had a kind of meh May and June. And then they started to win. So then they go out and they make moves. August is when their road troubles really started. You know what their win percentage was in April? Or I'm sorry, August?
August.
55%.
Really?
So they actually got better in August than they were in July, which is exactly what they wanted. That's when everybody started panicking about this team. Baseball is, when you look at it on a daily basis, if you get two or three days where you have losses, they had a five-game losing streak in mid to late when they lost to the Mets and got swept by the Phillies. So that is a little bit troublesome. That's a five-game losing streak. Woe is me.
Yeah.
They started September with a four-game losing streak and have won 10 straight. They have a 71% winning percentage in September so far.
Hey-o.
If it evens out to 60%, that is a great month.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are absolutely going scorched earth on everything. It can end at any time. So I say we sit back and enjoy it. There are three things that we can thank for this. If you're not following the Mariners, there's the power of the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Give credit to whomever you like for that. Bryce Miller said he can only grow a mustache, and he's had it since college. So he's trying to claim the mustache power.
All right.
But that's one of the things. So if you want to support the Mariners, and your wife won't kill you if you wear just a mustache, because mine will. I once lost a mustache bet, and she cried and begged my friend who held the power of the mustache bet. It's supposed to be a month.
Yeah.
Lasted 2 weeks, and she she pleaded for her sanity.
I can't do it anymore.
She goes, the marriage won't survive if he keeps his mustache. So I will not be cutting a mustache for it. The other thing that is, of course, is the Etsy witch. I assume that you guys have talked about that on the firm, because you actually brought that up to me.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah.
But a man was getting upset with the road woes of the Seattle Mariners, so he went on to Etsy and paid $15.99 to an Etsy witch for a spell to clear the bad mojo for the Seattle Mariners. Mm-hmm. Since then, they have not lost a game.
Hey.
That was game two of their series in Atlanta, and since then, they are on an absolute tear. The other thing that happened during that game, and I found out about this yesterday because I got a little bit of the game on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Rick Riz has a pregame bag of Cheetos. Just one of the little bags of Cheetos.
Uh-huh.
And he got the first one. Jerry DePoto came in, tossed him a bag of Cheetos that second game in Atlanta. And he has had them every game. Last night, the reason it came up, a little bit of a freak out. They could not find Cheetos anywhere in Kansas City.
Oh, no.
But they found him. And just before first pitch, they tossed him out to Riz in the booth. And he got his Cheetos in. He had Doritos. He's going to try those to see if they work.
Not,
Nope. Doritos, not Cheetos.
Yeah.
They have the gold dust on them. It ain't the same thing.
No.
So see, here's what I'm worried about, though.
Okay.
How quickly can RFK get this food dye thing actually going? Because Cheetos is on that list. So I'm a little bit worried about that one. Listen, you can't outlaw mustaches. I mean, you can outlaw beards if you're the Yankees somehow, but we're not outlawing mustaches.
Heck no.
I don't think the Etsy witch is being tracked down by the FBI or any government organization. But the government's coming after our Cheetos. And if it costs the Mariners a World Series, I will get political.
Well, now, here's the thing, too. Is it, if this pregame bag of Cheetos is so important, why are they not traveling with said Cheetos? And then instead of, you know, just going out and hitting the store in whatever town they're in?
Listen, I don't know all the ins and outs, but apparently DePoto goes somewhere and gets a bag and brings them to Rick Riz. This is the way I understand the transaction.
So maybe it's part
goes
of the process.
I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but if every Mariners fan listening to my voice starts eating Cheetos and it helps the Mariners win games, do what you got to do, because baseball is a game of superstitions.
And I'm welcome, here. I'm here for Frito-Lay.
It may be the Etsy witch all along. It may be the mustache power. It may be the Cheetos, but listen.
Do you want to mess with any of them?
Do you want to take the risk that it's... Yeah, okay.
Nope.
So I'm with that. With that, let's go to In Case You Missed It. Oregon Ducks football. I don't think that's a right...
not what it's supposed to be.
I don't think that's the one.
No.
Oh, it was intercepted.
Yeah, intercepted. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
Hey, there we
Sweet
go.
Fancy Moses.
In case you missed it, Jessica Simpson expressed relief that her past relationship with former NFL star Tony Romo did not work out. Jim Nance has reportedly reached out to Simpson for advice on how to end a relationship with Romo. Yeah? Okay. Chicago Bears coach Ben Johnson is unfazed by Tom Brady's dual role as a broadcaster for their upcoming game and as a minority owner for the Las Vegas Raiders, downplaying any conflict of interest. He said, as long as Geno Smith is planning to throw the ball to both teams equally, Tom Brady can have the whole playbook as long as he cares. No?
All right. No? Well, that's kind of... Okay. It's just low because I had to...
It's just low. You love Ben Johnson and you're rooting for the Bears. You jerk. The New York Mets broke an 8-game losing streak by beating the San Diego Padres 8-3. Don't worry, Mets fans. There's still enough games left in the season for your Mets to start another run at a double-digit losing streak. Don't worry. I believe in them. I have faith. Sports media personality Stephen A. Smith reportedly earns $33 million annually from ESPN and Sirius XM contracts, with a total income estimated around $40 million, including other ventures. I think I'm doing something wrong.
That's very rude, and it's very nasty.
Yeah. I need to change my approach. Should I be saltier and hot takier?
That is an atrocity.
Do you think everybody's looking at that and just going, all right, how do I just get more bombastic and get out there?
Yeah.
All right, finally, Kevin Durant stated he would play for Team USA in the 2028 Olympics, but only if he's still performing at an all-star level and not just as a veteran bench player. He also added that if Team USA were to lose, he'd leave America immediately and play for the other country.
That's the boo for Kevin Durant, not for the joke. Who doesn't want to boo Kevin Durant?
I don't know. Do I have my Kevin Durant thing?
Oh, yeah, this guy. Here, hang on here.
There it is.
KD, you cheese butt! Yeah. Where LeBron at? KD, LeBron, he gonna yam on you.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it always does. With that, we go to the Daily Buzz. We do it next. It is Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on the Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
The Buzz.
The Buzz.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, your Seattle Mariners continue to win. They've won their 10th straight game, helped along by a couple of these.
Fly ball, right field, foul pole, it is fair and gone! Number 55, Cal Raleigh! Move over, Mick! Cal Raleigh is the new switch-hitting home run king!
The Mick he's referring to is Mickey Mantle.
That's some pretty good company.
How about this for company?
Blasted, center field, and... disappears! He has homered on back-to-back pitches seen tonight! It may never stop the year of Cal Raleigh! He has now tied Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home runs by a Mariner in a season!
I'll tell you what didn't happen to Mickey Mantle and didn't happen to Ken Griffey Jr. before they hit their home runs of that caliber. In the second inning of that game, Cal Raleigh took a fastball from Logan Gilbert off his throat.
Oh. Oh.
The trainer comes out. You okay? Yeah, I'll be all right.
It's like Rick Riz after getting hit by a foul ball.
Rick Riz didn't go out and hit two home runs. He didn't surpass Mickey Mantle and tie Ken Griffey Jr. Give the man the MVP. He's controlling, he's managing the entire staff. Mm-hmm. He is taking pot shots off of the legs, the arms, the chest, the head, the throat, and then just goes back out there. You need a break? No, I'm good. Yep. I'm not only am I good.
Yeah.
Here's one. Here's two home runs for Cal Raleigh. That's what you do in your throat. He just shugs it off. He just goes. Just shakes it off, and he's like, yeah, I'm good.
Rub a little dirt on it.
I am good. Around the Mariners, there are some things happening. So the Mariners have won 10 straight. They are still half a game ahead of the Houston Astros. The Cleveland Guardians won their 10th game in 11 tries, defeating the Detroit Tigers 7-5 in 10 innings. They had four extra base hits in the extra inning, which is fairly historic. They're playing incredibly well. That means right now the Mariners are only two back of the Tigers.
Ooh.
The Tigers have two more against said Guardians. Uh-huh. Then they have another series. Then they play three more against the Guardians. Ooh. So you've got a team that's only 2.5 back in the wild card in Cleveland. They're trying to claw their way back into this, so they are playing with everything they got. So the possibility that the Tigers are catchable is very much out there. Another impactful game, I guess two games. The Athletics win their fifth straight game. They beat the Red Sox 2-1, which means the Red Sox actually lost ground and moved down to the third wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Astros, with a 6-5 victory over the Rangers, move into the second wild card spot.
Number two.
And you know what that means for the way the seeding is set up, yes?
The last two, they play each other in a single elimination game. Is that correct?
So you've got the top division winner and the second division winner will get a bye.
Right.
And the last division winner will play the worst wild card team, where the other two wild card teams will play against each other.
Okay.
So you'll get your little wild card round.
Gotcha.
So yeah, the one game is gone. So now it's if the Mariners can pass the Tigers, they sit at home and watch a wild card.
All right.
If they end up staying in that third spot, until yesterday, it would have been the Houston Astros. So playing a division opponent who you've got a matchup with this week could be different. So changes things up. The other team in the wild card hunt is the Yankees. They tried their hardest to blow a 9-run lead, but just couldn't do it. They ended up beating the Twins 10-9, and they hold on to that top wild card spot.
The Buzz.
Interesting little tidbit here. This comes from Ben Fennell, a NFL scribe, was doing some digging on next-gen stats. I want to get you ready for the Seahawks and Saints this weekend.
Okay, please do.
After two games, the Seahawks are leading the NFL in pressure rate. So that means their defensive line is getting more pressure on the quarterback than anybody else, 49.4% of the time. Seattle is also using the four-man rush 83% of the time. So that means their four guys up front are getting pressure on through the five guys that are trying to block for the quarterback incredibly well, and they are blitzing at the 31st highest rate in the NFL. There's only one team, Cincinnati, behind them, but they are blitzing only 13% of the time. So if you're looking for that little metric that gives you hope that you've got what you want, other than just playing the Saints, you have what appears to be a fairly elite unit with Leonard Williams and Buamafe and DeMarco Lawrence, who you've added in the offseason. So good news if you're keeping an eye on the Seahawks and really trying to find out where they're elite, that could be a spot to point to.
The Buzz.
Philadelphia Phillies rallied with a late three-run homer to defeat the Los Angeles Dodgers 9-6. They were down 4-0 at one point. Shohei Ohtani was pitched five hitless innings, hit his 50th home run, and the Dodgers still couldn't win. They have lost two straight to the Phillies, but the Padres lose again, too. So the Dodgers still have a two-game lead in their division. The Phillies have clinched. Here are the teams that have clinched playoff spots. In case you're wondering, the American League has none. So even the Toronto Blue Jays, who are four games ahead of the Tigers, six games ahead of the Mariners, and so on and so forth, have not even clinched a spot. But there are three teams that are eliminated. The Angels, the Twins, and the White Sox are all out of the running in the American League. In the National League, Milwaukee Brewers have clinched. The Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago Cubs are all in. The Brewers...
The Cubs just clinching earlier today.
That's true. And the Philadelphia Phillies have clinched their division. The Brewers and Cubs still fighting out the division. So Pirates, Nationals, Rockies, all out of the playoffs. I know that you're sad.
Yeah.
Because you're a Jaguars and Rockies fan?
The Buzz.
Los Angeles Chargers linebacker Khalil Mack will be placed on the injured reserve for at least four games due to an elbow injury. Sounds like it was a dislocated elbow. I don't know how that feels for you.
God.
But reports are it is not season ending. So they played well without Khalil Mack in their Monday night win over the Raiders. But getting him back, if they end up being the team that a lot of people think they will be, mm-hmm. Having him for the playoffs and the final regular season push will be big. And then the other injury update of note is New York Jets quarterback Justin Fields has been ruled out of Sunday's game against Tampa Bay due to a concussion. Tyrod Taylor will be your quarterback in his place. Let's walk over to the sports desk, see what we missed. Yeah. So good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Wednesday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. Time for The Subtext. We've got the clips, but what were they really saying? Let's listen in. Let's listen in.
Let's listen in.
Let's listen in.
Let's listen in.
You know, I think that's just an opportunity for us to go play football in different place. And to be the team that we want to be, we're going to have to go play in hostile environments, away from our crowd, away from our fans. And, I thought our team has done a good job handling that adversity and dealing with it. And, you know, whether it's a really loud stadium or a crowd, just being able to work through that for sure.
That is Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert talking about what it's like to start their season on the road. They host the Broncos for their home opener on Sunday. Luke, the Los Angeles Chargers are being praised after 2 weeks for how they're playing. Do we expect them to be even better at home?
Well, first game was technically a home game. At least they lose a home game for it, playing in Brazil. And then yes. They go to Las Vegas, which... I know the stadium's cool, and I know it's exciting. How much of a home field advantage does that feel like when you watch the game? Because it felt like you get the Raiders' energy because the crowd shots. They go and pick out the guys wearing costumes and doing the whole thing. But it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of juice in that building. Now, Geno tried to suck the air out of the building every chance that he got. But it didn't feel like it was that much of a home field advantage in either of the two road games.
Right.
So... yes, I expect them to play well, but partly because Denver's offense has been so awful. And I feel like now with Justin Herbert as a veteran quarterback and somebody that seems to have command of the game, knows when to run, they haven't been getting a ton of help from their running game. He was their leading rusher last week. So I think if you can kind of figure that out, I think the combination of Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert's going to be hard to stop this week. And Denver kind of reeling so far through 2 weeks. So I will say they will look better, but that's because I think Denver is worse.
There are things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up. And I thought as a whole that that team, they played a little bit harder than us. And that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff. And it's a reflection of our players, too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you gotta be all out and every single snap. And that just was not the case. So specifically, it was everybody.
Chicago
Bears head coach Ben Johnson pinpointing finally, and that's finally, not finally, the reason the Bears lost to the Lions, the problem, everybody.
Yeah.
Luke, do you see the Bears getting a win this week against the Cowboys at home?
Well, you bring up at home. The Bears have lost six straight at Soldier Field. Not exactly the fortress of solitude that you would hope that defend at all cost. Caleb Williams still not looking like it's all making sense in the moment. He needs the game to slow down a little bit more. He needs to get the ball out of his hand quicker. The Bears secondary is vulnerable, and Dak Prescott does have the ability to take advantage of that. Now, the secondary for the Cowboys is pretty beat up too, so I don't think Caleb Williams is ready to take advantage of that. I think the Cowboys go out there and take care of their business, and the Bears go to 0-3.
I think that one of the reasons why we were sold on this and why you were selling the Steelers doing well is because Rodgers doesn't turn the ball over.
Right.
The problem with that so far is no matter how good you think that he's looked, he's turned the ball over and he's given the opponents opportunity. Mm-hmm. So if the Steelers defense is going to go around blocks, try to backdoor run plays and get gashed, then Rodgers is going to have to put the ball at risk. And I think that's the part that's concerning. It all starts with the defense. Everything's connected. Mm-hmm. Their defense can keep it close. Rodgers won't have to do that.
Well, first off, you don't want to get gashed in the back door. That was Dominique Foxworth blaming anyone but Aaron Rodgers for the interceptions thrown by Aaron Rodgers. The 1-1 Steelers at the 1-1 Patriots on Sunday. Does Rodgers clean up the turnovers and do the Steelers win on the road?
It's funny. I saw a comment from somebody on the social medias that was basically saying, like, every time you watch Aaron Rodgers, you're like, just let it loose, man. Stop checking down. Just chuck it down the field. And then as soon as he does, it's like, what are you doing? Why would you throw that? Aaron, what are you doing? He's got as much arm talent as anybody, but it's one of those things where the decision-making has to kind of align with it. And I don't even know if it's decision-making as much as it's, I think he still thinks he can do what he's always done, but I don't think he has, and it's not the talent.
Wait, are you saying that Aaron Rodgers thinks a lot of himself?
He does. I don't think he has rapport with any of these guys. I don't think he's going to build rapport with any of these guys. There's a certain amount of trust factor that goes into it, and to be quite honest, right now the team isn't that good around them. I won't blame the defense for Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions. You know who can't screw up if they're not on the field? The defense.
Yeah.
And guess what happens when you turn the ball over?
The defense
has to go on the field. So, and plus, like, one of the biggest gaffes in that game was special teams. So Dominique Foxworth, I appreciate you trying to defend Aaron Rodgers, but I think that's his problem to solve. They have Patriots this week, though, yeah?
Yeah,
that's not the... I don't know that's the biggest challenge. I wouldn't be surprised if they went in there and got a win. You've got Drake May on the other side. I don't know. The Patriots have looked all that impressive so far.
Not exactly world beaters.
In the Mike Vrabel era. I think they'll get better quicker. But I think the Steelers, they're one of those teams. They're going to get 10 wins. They're going to be on the cusp of the playoffs. They're going to be a winning team because they always are. And if they're not, it'll rest squarely on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers. So I think they win this week.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on their way, because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking. Is that good? I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. This is a program built to last, always has been, always will be. And I would just say, if you give up on us, after, if you don't believe on us because we've lost two games down to the last straight and we're one, you didn't believe in us anyway, so it don't matter. You wasn't all in anyway. If you're all in, you burn the ships, man. There ain't no exit strategy. Like, you're freaking all in. And hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while. I got a long way to go. I'm just getting going. I'm just now good enough to be a head coach.
Channeling his inner rusted root, saying, send me on my way. That was Dabo being Dabo. Luke, if you were Clemson, would you be looking for another head coach?
It's one of those challenges where you don't fire a guy unless you got somebody better waiting in the wings. I am no fan of Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah. Insufferable is,
well, sure,
a light way to put it, I think.
But. Well, yes, but compare him to his peers.
Yeah.
Is he insufferable as a human? Yeah. Is he insufferable to you and I, the lay people of the sports world? Like, well, you and I aren't out there competing. We don't got to go wins every week. But as far as coaches go, he's pretty much what you expect from a college football coach. He's not on the positive end where you're like, it's surprising to hear such positivity from a college football coach. He's not the worst out there because there's a lot of guys doing some stuff that's pretty terrible. There's plenty of people that are being put on suspension or leave from teams for all kinds of different infractions. He seems to have a clean resume. Is he annoying? Is he insufferable? Sure. The thing about that whole clip is, he's not going away. Somebody's going to hire him immediately, so we're still going to have to listen to him.
Yeah.
So might as well stay at Clemson, where I only have to hate one Dabo Sweeney team and not follow the roller coaster of where he's at. So stay in Clemson. I can keep hating Clemson. You're in the ACC. The funniest thing, you know where they're ranked right now? 15th in the ACC. Not 15th in the country. 15th in the ACC. Every so often you're going to have down years, and I think they'd be foolish to get rid of him.
We've said this all before, but it just continues, and it continues at a historic level. To do what he's doing and to do it behind the plate, you know, as often as he's back there, it's kind of unfathomable. And I think the way he led the staff again tonight, what he has done for us behind the plate all year, to do it at that level, and then to do what he has done offensively, it's unmatched. I think you can honestly say it's unmatched.
And that is Mariners manager Dan Wilson, his daily superlative search for ways to describe what we're seeing from the big dumper, Cal Raleigh. Luke, how many more home runs will Cal have by the end of the weekend?
The question is, who will have more, Cal Raleigh or Dom Canzone? Am I right? Yeah. Dude, by the end of the year, I think he hits 60, so he gets two more by the end of the weekend at least, and then going into next week, he's going to be chasing the big 6-0, man. It's too much fun right now. With that, we move on to one more for the road. We do it next. Happy Hour on 105.1 and the Fan Sports Network.
Relax, hot shot.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far?
Wicked woman, cool creams and mysteries. You gotta go spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, Rusty Bottoms. What's a good word out there? What are people saying on the text toy, the YouTube chats?
Well, regarding the Anaconda classic and the rumored, well, I guess not rumored, it's been announced, reimagining of it.
Yeah.
When I asking if J-Lo was still going to be in it, I said, no, she's probably too big time. And somebody texted in, have you seen the movies J-Lo still does? And she is not too big time for anything, apparently.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I have to say, I have not kept up on J-Lo's career. I couldn't tell you a thing.
I got nothing.
She was in that movie Jack what was the one with Robin Williams? I remember that one.
Oh,
yeah. Where he's like an overgrown kid, like right. Benjamin Button.
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that one.
And then regarding Paul Rudd and Jack Black, whether or not they'd done anything together previously, technically according to the text, well, not according to the text line. Technically, they were both in Anchorman, which is true.
You fact-checked the text line.
I did fact-check. Okay. It took me a second, and then I saw the image. I was like, that's right, Jack Black was the biker that got hit with the burrito and kicked the dog off the bridge.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that they ever shared any screen time.
Well, there you go. So here's an opportunity to get them interacting with one another on screen, which is, let's be honest, that's all we really want, yeah?
Oh, hey, Jack Black and Paul Rudd together? Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'll sign up for that. One for the road.
I don't know if you saw this yesterday morning, big plumes of ash flying up around Mount St. Helens.
I did.
Did you figure out what that was? Because I got an update on it, if you're curious.
Just some unusually strong winds from a direction there. They don't normally come, and it whipped up a bunch of the ash from the 1980 eruption is what I saw.
That is exactly right. So if you were worried that there was any volcanic activity, fear not. The unusually high winds. Have you ever spent any time up at Mount St. Helens?
When I was a kid, like we went up and hit one of the observatory points or something, yeah. But I was super young.
Well, I'll throw I just want to throw this out there because last summer we did a trip up there and did a big hike along that northwest side of Mount St. Helens. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people that don't cross the bridge north into Washington unless they're, you know, road tripping to Seattle or something and don't spend much time. Yeah, well, there's plenty of people on my side of the river in Vancouver that do the same thing to me. It's shocking because I cross the bridge every day. But if you have never been up to Mount St. Helens and you love hiking and getting out of doors, going up there, it's staggering to see how much ash still sits there. I was born, just over a year after mm-hmm. the eruption, but my parents lived in Yakult, Washington when yeah. it erupted, and the pictures, and they still have samples of the ash, but they were basically in the shadow of the mountain, which yeah. is not that far away.
Right.
If that blew up on the southwest side, it's a very different outcome for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But going up there and seeing that it is still kind of a barren wasteland,
yeah.
I mean, just knowing that here we are in 2025 and the ash from 1980 is still exposed enough to just blow up in a plume because
right?
the wind goes by
yeah.
may seem shocking, but if you ever have a chance to go up there and just kind of see it firsthand,
mm-hmm.
there's a trail that goes, and I wish I knew the name of it, but there's the Lewitt Trail was the one we did last year, and that one kind of goes around the northwest side, mm-hmm. I believe. But there's one that comes up from the southwest where you can actually kind of walk through the large timber on the southwest side, and then you'll emerge coming into kind of the blast zone and where the Toodle River is. And we did this, I don't know, probably 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you end up hiking through the Toodle River Valley, and then it's just a wall of ash.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of where the river borders the blast zone.
Right.
And it's crazy. There's still just trees laying down like they were knocked over yesterday. As far as you can see, there's a huge ash flat that you get this big view over. So, after seeing that, I just thought I'd take a couple minutes to wax poetic about one of my favorite geological places to visit.
Yeah.
That doesn't even include the Ape Caves and everything else that's up there and the reservoirs and all that. But, if you get a chance, make a trip out to Mount St. Helens and do it now, because when the weather starts getting bad, no fun.
Yeah.
But now would be a beautiful time
absolutely.
To go up. Anything else to add, young man, before we take off?
I was just shy of four when it blew, and
oh, yeah.
so I have some faint memories of basically some ash coming down like snow.
Yeah, well, my uncle lived in Virginia, and they could see it from there. It was kind of a big deal,
well, yeah.
so yeah, kind of a big thing. So, thank you everybody for listening to our silly little program. Thank you to Jeff Rust, and of course, thank you to Isaac Rupp. We're all done for now. Bye bye.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.